3 and verse 15. We read this morning, but we'll talk a little bit more about the concept found here this afternoon. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you this afternoon about bringing your children to Christ. It ought to be the prayer of every parent and pastor and church member that the children and the families in church would be saved. Proverbs tells us, if we train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Thy father and mother shall be glad, and she shall bear thee, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. There's some real serious problems when it comes to dealing with children, found across the board, and particularly in Baptist churches and Baptist homes, and that's what I'm familiar with. Sometimes because of confusion and children being dealt with at a very young age and later dealt with in life, there can be multiple professions of faith. I know of one preacher's daughter who made 5 professions of faith. And we shouldn't let a false profession keep us from coming and professing Christ as our Savior. But if you have that many professions of faith, you can see that there's confusion. And there ought not to be confusion when we're dealing with children about the Lord. There's also a problem of copycat professions. I remember one year we had a mission conference and we had a speaker speak in the morning, and there was a good group of youth there and younger children there. And that morning after the invitation, one of the children went forward to be saved. And I think there was about 5, if not more, that went forward and said they were saved. None of them are serving the Lord today or even in church today. It was just a copycat thing, that I'm going to do what other people are doing. There's a problem of some groups of very aggressive soul-winning tactics. There's a child evangelism groups that hold weekly Bible training in communities and kind of weekly Bible school for children, and very aggressively get them to profess Christ. Some, you know, if you'll profess Christ as your Savior, you'll get a new Bible afterward. There's a terrible approach of the sinner's prayer. Many people will read some very good verses in Romans chapter 10, where it says in verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jews and Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so they say, all you need to do to be saved is call upon the Lord. Just call out his name. Lord, I want to be saved, and you'll be saved. But there's a lot more to salvation than simply wording it. I think that it's possible for me to go down, and if I was a very persuasive speaker and offered the right incentives, to get anyone to call upon the name of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that repentance has really taken place in their life. And so we have that problem. There's also a problem based upon the say-so of a mother or father that, you know, they'll say, well, you know, you don't need to question your salvation. You're saved. I was there, and this is what you did back then. But a parent cannot really see into a child's heart. And we have no right to offer assurance of salvation. It's the Holy Spirit's job to offer assurance of salvation. And so there's just a number of problems that can come up when dealing with children. What's some of the problems? I'm going to, just so, I think most of you ate too much, just like I did this afternoon, and you get sleepy. So you that have children and older children, and you that have younger children, and you that don't have any children, what do you think is prospective problems, and besides what I've mentioned here, what's some things that you think can become hindrances to your children coming to the Lord? What's some problems? What would you consider? If you had a child, let's say he's 10, 11, 12 years old, and how are you going to deal with those children? What's some potential difficulties and problems? They don't see there's a need? Especially when we're talking about church children, that there's a cultural Christianity. Okay, so how would you deal with that? Okay, so I guess my question is, how do we try to bring a person to a place where they realize that they truly need to be saved? Okay, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The Ten Commandments, the sinfulness of sin. I think that we want to look at our children through rose-colored glasses. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So just live a godly life before them and be honest and open. Okay, we're still kind of just talking about ourselves. What we need to do, maybe the first thing is in relationship to dealing with our children, is there needs to be some kind of mindset that we're going to deal with our children. Here's what happens, is that you have your children, and they can be the age of most of these children here, that are still, I don't think they're really yet to an age where they understand their need of salvation or what exactly Christ did upon the cross. They're in a state which we would call safe. David said when his baby died that he cannot come to me, but I will go to him. And David knew he was going to go to heaven. So there's kind of a place in life where children are safe. They're not saved, but they're safe. And if they die in their infancy, then they won't go to hell. They will go to heaven. But what happens is we say, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to have to deal with Billy. I'm going to have to talk to Billy. I want to confront Billy. And of course, just if you just have in your home a continual godly home, some of this is going to come about naturally. But what happens, speaking in hindsight, is that this little 4-year-old boy, one of these days you look at them and they're 13 and you've still not dealt with their soul. Because there's just a way of living that life just kind of goes on and goes on. And then one day you look in the mirror and you actually do have gray hairs and wrinkles and your children are grown and you failed to deal with them. And so make it your plan to, as the verse that we read, from a young child thou hast known the scriptures, which can make thee wise unto salvation. What are some concerns just about the nature of a child that you need to consider when you're dealing with them about their need of salvation? Let me give you a little hint. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So he's talking about that they need to, as adults, not to be deceived. But he says here that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. What is it about it? You know, what's he trying to get at here in relationship to children being tossed to and fro? Okay. Huh? Gullible. Okay. Because, like, for instance, if Clayton was packing 2 dimes and I had 2 pennies, I could say, Clayton, I'll trade you my bigger coin for your smaller coin. He's gullible. They're fickle. Children can be deceived. Children can be easily led along to a profession of faith. Children naturally want to please their parents. I called my daddy upstairs about 10 or 11 years old. I didn't want to go to hell. And I called him up and I said, you know, I want to be saved. And so he knelt by the bed with me and we prayed that I'd be saved. And I went off to school. And by recess, I'd forgotten everything. And my dad was smart enough not to talk about that night. He wanted to see if anything had changed in my life. We want to, your children are going to want to please you, but we can't put words in their mouth. We want the work to be done by the Spirit of God. And we talk a lot about children and we talk about these things, but listen, one of the things I think we need to understand right off the bat is that the plan of salvation for children is just the same as for adults. And that adults can be led along to say things just like children can be led along to say things. And we want the Spirit of God to work. And sometimes that may be quickly. Sometimes it may take 3 months of teaching for the Spirit of God to really do His work. Let the Spirit of God work. And not try to lead them along. Children can be easily, like I said, led to make a decision. And I think some of you parents have experienced that. And so be careful there. Also, realize that children have a limited vocabulary. They may not say, you know, I was justified by Jesus Christ and He was the propitiation for my sins and I now have His righteousness in me. They may not know all those things. But they do need to know that they're a sinner, that they're condemned, that they come underneath the judgment of God. And it's kind of like the man in John chapter 9 that was blind and he said, you know, who Jesus is, I don't know, but I know this, that once I was blind and now I see. That he knew there's something happened in his life, that there's something changed in his life. And surely that should be a part of salvation. So let me just speak a couple of things here. I think that the focus of each of you parents that have children here today, the focus ought to be preparation. It ought to be that you're teaching them about God. Just if they understand that God is the creator, they have a big jump on life. Sister Humphrey's been teaching Silas, and the last quarter that they had was all about creation. And it's just enjoyable for her, as she relates to me, to see how Silas has grasped on to the fact and is determined in his own little heart and mind that it's so silly to think that things just come about of themselves, that it had to be God that created, and it's a natural thing for him. And so when a child understands that God's creator, what does he understand? First, he understands he's a great God. Creation is great. He understands that God created him. and that he's accountable to God. And so there's just some very basic core truths that are found in creation. Well, at this point, we're preparing children. They're understanding there's a God. They're understanding something about sin. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. A psalm says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so one of the things that children need to understand is there need to be a fear of the Lord. Understanding that they are going to be judged. And as we said this morning in one of the verses on discipline, that when a child realizes that misbehavior brings discipline, they'll also more readily grasp the concept that sin is going to bring discipline. It's going to bring punishment. It's going to bring judgment. Okay, and so the fear of the Lord. And then look over in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And verse 1. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our father hath told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. And so we want our children to know about God, the wonderful works he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. And so we tell them about creation. We go out in the northern lights, and the children were observing, and said, man, isn't God an awesome God? Isn't he a wonderful God? What, the power of God in creation. And then we talk about the wonderful works that he's done. We talk about the testimony of the law, verse 5, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. They need to understand that in this life, if we have hope only in this life, we're all men most miserable. But we put our hope in God. Listen, you need to trust God that our hope, your future, your purpose and meaning to life is found in hoping in God. Now, of course, preparation, we ought to pray, both privately and publicly, that our children could be saved. We ought to teach them to memorize Scripture. But there's four things that we need to look for, and they all start with C. When we lead children to Christ, we need to look for conviction. Never assume that a child wants to be saved. When someone comes to you and they say, I want to be saved. When someone comes forward here in the service and is a child and says, Pastor, I want to be saved. You got to be careful that you don't let your emotions run ahead of your thinking. Because when a child comes forward, or when your child approaches you and say, Daddy, I want to be saved, immediately there is a stirring in your heart, because this is something, no doubt, you've been praying for. And if you haven't, you should be praying for. And there's a great joy that begins to flood your spirit, saying, oh, you know, God's been working with them. And if we're not careful, we may read something into that that's not there. And so when a child comes forward, or when your child approaches you and they say, I want to be saved, instead of saying, oh, great, oh, I'm so excited, I'm so happy, you should say to them, why? Why do you want to be saved? Well, because I don't want to go to hell. Is that a good enough reason? No, our problem's not with going to hell. Our problem's with God. We have a serious problem with God. And if they've been raised in church, they may have the right answers to some of the questions. And so you might ask them some probing questions. Have you ever sinned? No, Dad, I've not done anything bad. Have you ever did anything bad enough to go to hell? What is a sinner? Look over in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, it tells us the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, what is identified as the Comforter, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so if the Holy Spirit is sent into this world to deal with people about sin and righteousness and judgment, then a person who's under conviction, a person who is being dealt with by God, ought to have some kind of thinking concerning sin. If they don't know what sin is, then we need to give them some scripture and let the Holy Spirit do His work. They should know something about righteousness, that they are not righteous, but God is righteous. There should be some kind of comprehension about sin and righteousness because, listen, salvation is of the Lord. And so the Spirit of God needs to be working. And so my child may have a small vocabulary, but he may just say, Daddy, I just don't feel like I've been doing right. I've not been right. Or however he wants to, Daddy, I've been bad. And so there's a understanding there a little bit. But he could be doing bad because Mama gave him a spanking and she told him, you know, I'm going to talk to Dad when he gets home. And so he meets you at the door and says, Daddy, I've been bad. I need to get saved. And what he really needs to get saved from was from his second spanking. And so there ought to be something about sin and righteousness and judgment. He ought to have some kind of comprehension about the judgment of sin. And so the first word is conviction. And the second, as we mentioned here a little bit, is comprehension. One of the things you don't want to do, and I think we all fall into this trap, don't ask yes or no questions. Do you know Jesus died for you? Yes. Do you believe in Him? Yes. But we ought to ask more questions like, why do you need to be saved? What is sin? How have you sinned? What do you understand about how to be saved? And again, faith comes from hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and it's the Word that works, and truth is revealed through God's Word, not experiences. Look in Matthew 16 and 16. Simon Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said in verse 16, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And so, He wasn't supposed to just receive salvation just through how he grew up into it, or he grew up in a spiritual family. But flesh and blood couldn't reveal that, but it's the Spirit of God. And so again, we ought to let the Spirit of God have its work and do His work. And I guess what we need to understand is I think sometimes as parents we get very stressed because our children have not yet been saved. And Susie and I, we're stressed a bit about Toby. We don't really know where he's at, whether he's saved or not saved. But let me just say to you and to me that on our side and working with us, and working not just with us, but working for us, working beyond us, that wants to use us as simply tools in his hand. It's God the Holy Spirit. We have a great ally in trying to bring people to the Lord. He never quits reproving the world of sin and rising to judgment to come. That they may look as though they're on an easy street and everything's together. But listen, there is no peace to the wicked man. There is no peace to the lost man. There is no hope to the lost person. And so I'm going to look for conviction, but I'm also going to look for comprehension. I'm going to say, do you understand? Do they understand their need of a Savior? Do they understand their wickedness? Do you understand, woe is me for I'm undone? And I think it's something that we've really bypassed in evangelism. You know, we say, you know, that Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And we can't deny that God loved the world and gave his son to be the only, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's the love of God, but we also know that God is going to judge sinners. And not just their sin, he's going to judge individual sinners. And there needs to be a comprehension that the wrath of God abides upon them. And we say, you know, evangelism in the past has been, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You want to go to heaven, don't you? Well, just pray this prayer. But there's never been any guilt. There's never been any sorrow that I've personally sinned against God. And godly sorrow does what? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. There has to be that. And so comprehension. And then we look for conversion. If they've, like the, you know, I had those things. I acted like to my dad that I was, you know, I knew that I was a sinner. I wanted to be saved. I knew that Jesus Christ could save me. We prayed, and my dad was wise enough to say, okay, I'm going to wait and see if there's any conversion. And as I said, you know, by recess of that day at school, I'd forgotten all about it. And when I came home, my dad never prodded me about that. He was waiting to see if there was conversion. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I realize if our children have grown up in church and they've saw godly ways and they're cultural Christians, but there still needs to be a change. There needs to be a change in attitude. There needs to be a change in their lives. And we ought to look for some conversion. Is there a hatred for sin? For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God. And then there ought to be some commitment. As they grow in the Lord, you ought to see people, whether they're children or not, there ought to be some commitment. They're willing to sacrifice for the Lord. They're willing to give to the Lord. They're willing to put others first. They're willing to do those things that are not natural to a selfish, lost person. Commitment. Is there this commitment when they've gotten saved? And they say they're saved, and you see that there has been a change and a conversion in their life. Do they come along and say, Daddy, I need to go talk to the preacher this today because I want to be baptized. I want to be a church member. There's a commitment. And those are all natural with salvation. And so, right now, you know, preparation. Pray. Preach the word. Look for these seeds. Look for conviction in their life. They don't need to be introduced to the Lord until they know they need the Lord and why they need the Lord. There needs to be a comprehension. They need to understand some things, that I'm a sinner. Christ died for me. I must repent of my sin and trust in Christ. We ought to see that God did a work, conversion. Something's different about this child. Something different about this adult. And then there ought to be some commitment. If we're really saved, we ought to desire to serve the Lord. Okay? Any questions? All right. Well, I hope we all live to see these infants here today and future families be saved and baptized and serve the Lord. Listen, we're living in some really troublesome times. And cultural Christianity is not going to cut it. It's going to have to be real Christianity. Really saved. Really serving the Lord. It's a time which calls for men to be men. It's a time that calls for our diligence and training our children to be able to stand in the evil day. Okay? You're dismissed.